Okay? Okay, we left off at the two dots on Daf Kaf Aleph Amid Aleph, where the Gemara returns to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah distinguishes between when do you pay Masha Nehenes and when do you pay Masha Hizika. And the Gemara distinguishes between Achla Mitoch HaRachava, that Mishalem Masha Nehenes, and Mitzide HaRachava Mishalemes Masha Hizika. And at this point, the Gemara wants to explain that world of Tzidei HaRachava. And the Gemara posits, Amar Rav, U B'mechazeret, U Shmuel Amar, Afilu B'mechazeret, Nami Patur, U Shmuel Hechi Meshkachas La D'mechayev, in the world of Tzidei HaRachava, Kegon D'shav Kasa L'Rachava, it totally leaves the Rachava, V'azla V'kama, B'tzidei HaRachava. So the question is exactly what over here is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and Bitor, what av mazik Rav is mechayiv. And here we have a Rashi, what we'll call a Mahadura Kama, and a Rashi Mahadura Basra. The Rashi Mahadura Kama is what we have on our Mishnah, and the sign that it's a Rashi Mahadura Kama is that that's what's on the Rif. That the Rashi on the Rif is Rashi, but Rashi didn't write on the Rif, but someone took the Perush of Rashi and inserted it on the Rif, but what he did was he took the Mahadura Kama of Rashi. Rashi and almost all Masechtos wrote a number of Mahaduras, and the Talmud Chacham who put the, you know, that in Svarad they didn't learn Gemara, they learned Rif, and that's why the Bukei Yosef and the Ran, or Rabbi Yonas and Biluniel, and the Bahamoar and the Ravid and the Ramban, they all wrote on the Rif because that was the text. You know, that was the Torah Shebaal Peh that had been sifted by the Rif, and so they took Rashi and put it there. But the Rashi there classically is the Mahadura Kama, and so over here, somehow the Mahadura Kama remains on our Mishnah, as opposed to within the sugi over here, it appears that we're dealing with the Mahadura Basra of Rashi. So that Tosfos disagrees with the Mahadura Kama and agrees with the Mahadura Basra. What over here exactly is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel according to the Mahadura Kama of Rashi? And when we say that Rav says Chayav, what is he Chayav? In the Mishnah, the Mishayim Masha Hizika, how much do you pay? Chatzin Nezek, right? You pay Chatzin Nezek. Rashi says, Mitzidei, I'm reading in Rashi in the Mishnah, Mitzidei HaRachav Mishalemes Masha Hizika, Kekeren, Kedin Keren, Tam Chatzin Nezek, Umuad Nezek Shalem. But how does that fit into the Gemara, that what is Mechazeres, according to Rav? It's an unusual way of eating. The animal normally doesn't stretch out its neck in order to eat. Normally it eats what's directly in front of it. And therefore we have over here an eating which is Meshuna, and this is Keren. And Shmuel says, no. In other words, the Rav agrees. Where is the animal standing according to this Perush? According to Rav, where are the four legs of the animal? Totally in Rishus HaRabim, right? That's why, according to Rav, this is we would not have a chiyuv on the level of Shein, because the animal is Rishus HaRabim. He's just being mechazeret. He's doing an unusual act, and so he's chayev on Keren, which is chayev even Rishus HaRabim. And Shmuel says, well, in other words, we all agree that the animal's in Rishus HaRabim, and he's eating. So on the level of Shein, it's Pater. And on the level of Keren, it's also Pater. In other words, we're dealing over here with an eating, which is Kedarka. It's Kedarka for an animal to stretch its head in order to be able to eat. What does Tosfos point out about this question? We're dealing with an act of eating something which is normally eaten, but in a place that in order to get there, the animal has to go through certain acrobatics. Have we dealt with this previously? This is the case of the Barcha on the top of Kaf Amud Aleph. And so Tosfos says, why should this be a machlokas Rav and Shmuel? We've already dealt with this. Look at Tosfos, Pirush B'Kutrus, Dafka B'Mechazeres. Aval acha b'lo chizer gonshin tzidei harachava bolten v'acha me'osa blita then mishalemes ma shenehenes. The parish, it should be the parish Rashi and the Mishnah, the parish Acher of Rashi. Pirish the mechazeres chayeves mishum keren the mishuno v'kashle pirusho de'alamrin and kevan de'urche lamecha lifta. That if we're dealing with the food which is normally eaten by an animal, or chenami l'srucha yulemesak, an animal, it's normal for an animal to go through acrobatics in order to be able to get to the food that it likes. Hachanami or chelachzor vafilu la'alos b'tzidei ha'rechava. So why would Rav disagree with Shmuel? That's exactly what Shmuel over here is saying. And then technically, mishalemish mashi hizika mashma nezik shalem. Well, according to Rashi, it's only going to be nezik shalem in a case of muad. Va'od demashem besamach dechiyuva demakze makom l'shus haravim kechiyuv mechazeres. And makze makom, clearly we're dealing over there with a world of shein and nezik shalem. And therefore, we have over here the nira lari, which is the gishna basra of Rashi. What is the nira lari? What is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? Not a question as to whether we have over here Karen, as to whether we have over here a Chatzi Nezek of Mashuna, but rather, how do we define the Rishus of Tzidei HaRachava? Is Tzidei HaRachava defined as Rishus HaRabim, or is Tzidei HaRachava defined as Rishus HaNizak? Namely, we're dealing with Shein. Shein is Chaya Rishus HaNizak, and Shein is Pater Birshus HaRabim. That's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav views Tzidei HaRachava as Rishus HaNizak, and Shmuel views it as Rishus HaRabim. Why does Rav view it as Rishus HaNizak? Because in order for the animal to eat there, what does it have to do? It has to turn its head. It has to be mechazer. It has to do this act of stretching. In order to, so if we have a place that an animal standing in Rishus HaRabim has to stretch in order to get to, we're going to call that place a chatzer hanizak. That's not an extension of Rishus HaRabim. Well, according to Shmuel, even if the animal is stretching to get to it, if it's standing in Rishus HaRabim, then that area is an extension of Rishus HaRabim. That's what Tosus points out. V'nira l'ri, d'tzidei harachava, chashive, chatzer hanizak, shekol echad yesh lo rishus l'hanich perosa keneged pesach beso b'tzidei harachava, ul'rav afil b'makam shiyachol le'echol b'chizor, chashiv, chatzer hanizak, v'chayev es nezik shalem, mitam shein. Ul'shmuel makam shiyachol le'echol b'chazara, chashiv la, Kirishus HaRabim. Namely, their machlokes is in terms of not of defining the act of the animal, whether it's normal or abnormal, but defining the Rishus. Do we have over here a Chatzar HaNizak, or do we have over here a Rishus HaRabim? When would Shmuel view the Tzidei HaRachava as Chatzar HaNizak?
Your mom is in the Tzidei
HaRachava. Nachon, that's what the Gemara itself points out. Ulishmuel Hechi Mishkachas Lad Machayev, that we view this as Shein Birshus HaNizak, it's going to Shavakta L'Rachava. If in order to eat, it can't just stretch out its neck. It has to leave the Rishus HaRabim, V'azla V'kama B'tzidei Rachava. That's called Chatzar HaNizak. And that's Rashi by us. Kama B'tzidei Rachava, She'ein Derech HaShvarim L'Lechet Sham, Hilkach Lav K'Rishus HaRabim Dame. Namely, the question of defining the Rishus, that's the Lishna Basra of Rashi. That's Tosfos. The Lishna Kama has nothing to do with defining Rishus, has to do with defining the act. Okay, so when the Machlokas revolves around the act, that's the Lishna Kama of Rashi. The Machlokas revolves around defining the Rishus, that's the Lishna Basra of Rashi. Chora, that's, in other words, pretty clear. And then the Gemara points out that Yitachein, this has nothing to do with the Mishnah. Ika demasni lohashmaisis of apinafsha, mechazeres, Rav Amar Chayeves, Shmuel Amar Petura. That this is simply a machokas. Again, according to Rashi, it's the question of an animal doing acrobatics, and according to Shmuel, and according to Rashi, Lishna Basra, and Tosfos, It's a question of defining the makom. Ulishmuel mishlemish mashizika heka mishkachas lada bechayeva gondeshavka lorechava v'azla v'kama b'tzidei ha-rechava. Okay, that within Rashi. All right. Okay. Fine. Masiv Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. He continues in the Mishnah. The Mishnah then continues that there's a difference between eating the Pesach Chanus and eating from the Chanus itself. That when you eat the Pesach Chanus, it's ma shenenes, and from when you eat from the Chanut itself, then it's ma shehizika. So mi Pesach Chanus mishalemes ma shenenes hecha mishkachasla. How did the animal get its head into Petach Achanut? Pshita b'machazeh. V'kamar mashenenes. Mashenenes in mashehizika lo. Namely that, how can Rav say that machazeret is chayav if the Mishnah says that Pesach Achanus, which l'chora is the case of b'chazeres, your patra mishehizika? So it appears like Shmuel. Again, either this is considered to be urchei, or it's considered to be part of the Rishus HaRabim, who mosiv lava, who mefarik la, dekaima bekeren zavis. That we have an ukimta, that you can get to the Pesach of the Chanus without mechazeres. And that's why, according to Rav, it's patur. That the animal, you know, it's just, the moment we don't have mechazeres, so we don't have over here, according to Lishna Kama of Rashi, a Mishuna, and according to the Lishna Basra of Rashi, we don't have a new Rishus. The animal is standing in Rishus HaRabim and eating in a normal manner. That's Shein B'Rishus HaRabim, and you pay Ma Shenehnes. Okay, Tosos Alatar, the Maskel de Kaima, the Karen Zavis, points out, you know, that we have this ukimta kagon mavui akum kishemagat lakmimusa kodem shetifne lutzad acher ochelos mipesach hachanut kenegda belochizur mashein kein betoch hachanut there mishalemet mashehizika. But how did the animal get its head into toch hachanut? Afal pisha ochlasan also belochizur. So why should there be a difference between Pesach HaChanut, where because there was no Chizur, we view that as Shein Birishus HaRabim, and the Chanut itself, where there's no Chizur, and we're going to view that as Shein Birishus HaYachid. Like, what's going on over here? Afal pi shochlasa v'lo Chizur. So Tosis answers, the Chotzer HaNizak Mamash Havei. What over here is Tosfos telling us?
It sounds like there are two tracks to Chatzar Nizak, or Sayyad. Yes. One is like, Mamish, this is this guy's space and your animal's not allowed in. And one is like a more, like, you don't expect your animal to be here, and so this guy can treat it like it's his space, but it's not really his space fundamentally.
Okay, so we have, taking what Beneo says and just giving a fancy terminology, we have a formal Chatzer HaNizak, and we have a functional Chatzer HaNizak. We have a Chatzer HaNizak in terms of Dine Mamonos. It's legally a Chatzer HaNizak. It's in the world of Kinyanim, it's Chatzer HaNizak. It's formerly Chatzer HaNizak. And then we have a place where people tend to leave their fruit, where it's assuming that it's going to remain there unharmed. So it's functionally Chatzer HaNizak, even though legally it is not Chatzer HaNizak. Namely, the Pesach of the Chanus, according to Tosfos, is really legally in Rishus HaRabim. In other words, the people sort of take advantage of the proximity of the Rishus HaRabim to their Chanus, and there they make a Pesach HaChanus with the expectation that it'll be viewed by the owners of the animals as a Chatzer HaNizak, and there's a difference halachically between these two. That when we're dealing with the formal Rishus HaRabim, the formal Rishus HaNizak, Mainaf Gamina, where the animal is mechazeres or it's not mechazeres, that's Chatzer HaNizak. In terms of the functional Chatzer HaNizak, So if the animal, according to Rav, if the animal is mechazeres, then we're going to say that we're going to consider that halachically also a chatzar hanizak. But if the animal is not mechazeres, then, if the animal, in terms of kaima b'chatzar hanizak, all right, okay. In other words, and if the animal is not mechazeret, then you only pay masha nehenes. Okay. Where did this Tosfos come from? The distinction, I guess, we're sort of forced into it by the Mishnah. But is there a way of giving a hesher for Tosfos? So here, I just want to work off of something that the Rav has in his shiurim and try and simplify it as much as possible to, I think, fit into Tosfos. And that is that we have a problem in the Rambam. That if we look at the Rambam in Hilchos Niske Mamon, Perak Aleph Halacha Zayin, the Rambam deals over there with the Av Mazik of Keren. And he points out, Kol Muad Meshalem Nezek Shalem in Hayafe Bin Achasav, V'chol Tam Meshalem Chatzin Nezek Migufo. By Medra Mamurim, Kishenichnasa HaBehema L'Rashus HaNizak, V'his Kasahu. Aval Im Nichnas Hanizak Lurishus Hamazik Vihiskasahu Vihemto Shabal Havayas Hareze Pater Al Hakol. And why is that? As we'll see on Dafkaf Alhamabiz, Harehu Omer Lo, Ilonich Nasta Lurishus, Ilo Gilacha Hezek. You brought it upon yourself. Who goes into a Chotzer Hamazik and expects to get out without damage? Then the Rambam continues, V'harei mefurash batara v'shilach es bi'iro ubir b'stei acher. And a chatzar hamazik is not stei acher. Wow! What the Rambam talking about? That's not ubir b'stei acher. It's talking firstly about what mazik? Shein v'rego. And secondly, it doesn't come to exclude chatzar hamazik. What does it come to exclude? Rishus harabim. Where is this Rambam coming from? So that's a real problem. And that problem is brought to a peak by the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Pei Tetzif Yud, who quotes the Rambam. By Medra Amurim Shnichnasa Behem Luchat Lurishus Hanizak VeYikasu. Aval Im Nichnas Hanizak Lurishus Hamazik VeYikasu Behem Toshabal Abayis Hareiza Pater Ahakol Shaharei Hu Omer Lo. It's a svara. Ilu Lo Nichnas Lurishus Lo Yigila Chahezek. And then continues quoting the Rambam, Harei Mefurash Batara, V'shilach Hasbiro Bir Bistacher. So here is one of the few places that I'm aware of in all of Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch where the Ramah doesn't simply say V'yesh Omerim, you know, etc., but says Kol Ze Lashon HaRambam V'tzarech Iyun D'ha Mikra Ze B'shein V'regel Hu D'chziv L'fotran B'shvirshu Shneyem Avo B'rshu Samazik T'Potter Afilu B'keren Ein Inyan Mikra Ze Ta'am Elav. Like, where else do we find the Ramah doing such a thing? You know, it really bothered the Ramah. In other words, we didn't simply say, you know, anu omrim, you know, or yesha. I mean, what's the Ramah talking about? So the Sma, after discussing the nature of the halachos, points out v'nira liyashev tmias moharam v'hu. The Gamdas HaRambam v'hamachaber shekasu v'harim mefurash b'Torah lo adesamech le'koi. It's not talking about the case of chatzer hamazik. Ela ba'u li'tein ta'am amash shekasa v'reisha b'medvarim amurim shenichnasa l'chatzer ha'nizak d'mema'it gam kishenichnasa l'reshut shneihem haynu mehay kra. Hainu mehaikra. In other words, that the Rambam began that when is there a chiyuv of Karen? The chiyuv of Karen is in a situation of Rishus HaRabim. It's in a situation of Chatzer She'eno Shel Shnehem. And a situation of Chatzer Shehi Shel Shnehem. On that, they were bringing the pasuk of... Av ubi, avu. Sorry, I slowly saw it. I'm sorry. In other words, the he. That even though the Rambam and the Mechaber don't say this explicitly, what is being implied is the Mamayit Gam Keshenichnas Alachotzer Lerushus Shnehem Dehainu Mehaikra Ukedesh Lo Nomar Menolei Dehaikra Asle Mamayit Gam Nichnas Lerushus Shnehem. The Svarahu de Potter. The Kalahavin is not so Kalahavin within the Shulchan Aruch, but it's much more Kalahavin within the Rambam itself. I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong Kalahavin there. If you look at the Rambam has two halachos, one after the other, Zayin and Chet. Halacha Zayin is dealing with the world of Nichnasa L'Rishus HaNizak or Nichnasa L'Rishus HaMazik. What is Olcha Ches talking about? Hizika B'Rishus HaRabim, Chatzar She'eno Shel Shnehem, Lo L'Mazik V'Lo Nizak, V'Lo Chatzar She'eno Shel Shnehem. So according to the Sma, the way you would read the Rambam is that Halacha Zayin would end with the words Lo higia lecha hezek nekuda ilu nechnasu shisro higia hezek, and then hari mafurish b'tara shir chsviru birustei acher. Therefore, hizika birshus harabim namely that the pasuk is not coming to explain halacha zayin. The pasuk is coming to explain halacha ches. Okay. In other words, again, it's within the Shulchan Aruch. You have to say that halacha ches is implied by the Rambam in Halacha Zayin, and that the pasuk is coming for the implication. But within the Rambam itself, we simply say that the pasuk relates to the following halacha. The problem is that in the following halacha, the Rambam the Rambam points out that in all of these cases, im shein v'regel hizika kedarka, in these worlds of Rishus HaRabim, Chatzer she'eno shel shneihem, or chatzer shehu shel shneihem, hareze potter mishum sheyesh la rishus lahalech bekan v'derech behema lahalech kedarka v'le'echol v'lishbor kedarech hilucha. Namely, what is according to the Rambam the reason for the p'tur of shein v'regel b'rishus harabim? A svara. Working off of whom? Who is the one who? Who? What?
The Rif.
This is the Rif, right? That the Rambam is like the Rif. And yet, according to the Sma says, and the pasuk the Rambam wrote at the end of Halacha Zayin comes to explain why we have a p'tur b'rishus harabim. P'tur b'rishus harabim is the gzeras hakasev of ubir b'stei acher. So the problem, according to the Sma, what happens is we've taken away the problem from Halacha Zayin. Rishus hamazik is a svara of ilo nechnastel rishus l'vigil chanezek, but on Halacha Ches, We're guilty of overburdening halacha ches, that we have now two reasons for a p'tur. We have both a gzeras hakasuv and a svara. Why would you need both a gzeras hakasuv and a svara? In other words, the Rush only had the gzeras hakasuv, the Rif only had the svara, and we've been dealing up to now with viewing things as an either or with nafkaminas, so all sorts of nafkaminas that we have been building. Why would you need both a pasuk and a gzeras hakasuv? So what the Rav wanted to suggest is maybe within the Rambam, this is really an issue. But this would help us very much with Tosfos. That as Benoyo pointed out, we have over here in Tosfos, Tzvei Dinim of Rishus HaNizak. We have a Rishus HaNizak, which is formally a Rishus HaNizak, and we have a Rishus HaNizak, which is functionally a Rishus HaNizak. Yes?
Can I just figure it out?
Yes, Bakasha.
Right, meaning that the the formal Rosh Hashanah Nizak, that's what the pasuk addresses. But there's a the functional Rosh Hashanah Nizak is addressed by the svara.
Exactly. Right. I think, and that fits in very nicely. Namely, the Rav was not talking about our Tosfos. Right. In other words, the Rav was coming to farefer the Rambam. You know, it's why given the Sma. Okay, so we have now, we've solved Halacha Zayin by pointing out that this pasuk, Shilcha Sabiru, has nothing to do with Halacha Zayin. It relates to Halacha Ches. I mean, it's, now that we have the Frankel Rambam, it's much harder to say such, you know, let's just move the period or move the paragraph. We don't find that in the Kisveyat, etc. Okay, but we'll take away the, you know, it's the problem in Halacha Zayin, but we have overkill then in Halacha Ches. We have both Asvara, that's written black and white, and the Xeras HaKosuf. So if we're willing to accept the fact that we have two Mekoros to be Mechayev, to Pater Shem V'Regel Bereshus HaRabim, which with the other side of the coin, to be Mechayev Bereshus HaNizak, it would help us to distinguish between the two levels of the Chanut and the Petach HaChanut. And that would, you know...
And it explains very well why there would be a machlokes in terms of the case in argument.
Nacha. In other words, that when we're dealing on the level of a svara, so then you can, you know, pull it this way, you can pull it that way. In other words, to what degree does this svara really play a role? In other words, with Shmuel simply saying, no, this is alpidin. It's not a rishus harabim or the other direction. That the svara can be taken even without mechazeres, it can go in both directions. Okay, so then the Gemara brings in another alternative for understanding the Mishnah. Ika da amri b'mechazeres kulei alma lo plige dechayeves. Mechazeres kulei alma lo plige dechayeves. Again, according to the first lashon of Rashi, ashen. According to the second lashon of Rashi, that the moment that it's mechazeres, we're defining it as reshus hanizak. Ki plige b'makze makom mirashuso lirashus harabim. We're dealing with an individual who allows people to walk through part of his reshus, makze mirashuso lirashus harabim, but he still keeps his items in that area. He'll keep his peiros there, and he'll allow people to walk through. Okay? And then the question is, how do we view such an area? V'hachi itmar, amar Rav, lo shanu ela mechazeres. When did I say you're chayev mashehizik in a case of mechazeres? Avo maktzeresh, moko mirashusa lirashus harabim, in that situation, petura. In other words, here we have a world of ptur. Ushmuel Amar Afilu Makse Makom Mishusel Rishus Harabim Chayeves. What would be the machlokas over here? In other words, it's using the categories that we have discussed up to this point.
Now we've swapped the gray area. We've got now we have like this. This area is formally Rishus HaNizak, but functionally Rishus HaRabim.
Exactly. Who learns that way? In other words, just to say what Benayahu pointed out, in other words, previously we dealt with something that perhaps formally was Rishus HaRabim, but functionally it was Rishus HaNizak. Here we're dealing with something which formally is Rishus HaYochid. This is his land. This is his land. In other words, it's written down in the world of Kinyanim that this is his land. But Bishimush, he allows people to walk there so they can behave there as though it's a Rishus Harabim. On the level of the Gzeras HaKosuv, is this a stay acher?
No.
Yeah, on the level of Gzeres HaKosuv, it's a stay acher. This is ubir b'stay acher, that formally, it's a stay acher. The Gzeres HaKosuv would tell us you're chayev, but the svara, that you have the right to walk there, and your animals have the right to walk there, would tell you that you're potter.
Okay.
That's what this is Tosus over here. Ki plige be makse makom kines letov shelo hiniach mikarko levnei reshus harabim lo shehifki reshuso. Not in other words, not that we're dealing over here with where he turned it into reshus harabim. If can't have a reshus harabim gomer, then there wouldn't be two sides. El hiniach lishtoach sham peirosav avol kol zman sheina peirosham yesh reshus bnei reshus harabim lahalach sham. Umaskinam plukta the Rav Damar the Chashim Shein Birshus Harabim, Afilu Ein Yecholin Leechol Belo Chizur, De Lo Dami Le Machazeres Betzide Harachava De Chaya, De Tzide Harachava Him Gavoim Urachava Muvdalim Imenu. Tzide Harachava are not only formally a Rishus Hayachid, they're also functionally a Rishus Hayachid. Chashuvim Chatzer Hanizak. And therefore, Shane would be chayiv. Avol makta makom shavehu l'rishus harabim. And since functionally it's rishus harabim, Rav would say pater. Shmuel amar chayeves haperus menachem birishuso have chotzer hanizak. Formally, afal pishiyesh rishus levehemos nidros eleha. Then we again using what you know the fact that we have over here two tracks within the distinction between rishus harabim and rishus hayakid. We can see say the Machokas Rav and Shmuel is which track has Yado HaElyona, where from a formal perspective it's Rishus HaNizak, from a functional perspective it's Rishus HaRabim. How do we view that Halacha LaMaisa? That's the Machokas between Rav and Shmuel, and that would explain the continuity of the Gemara Lema Bebor Birshuso Kamiflige. That maybe this is similar to the issue of Bor Birshuso, where we could have a parallel machlok, where we find the parallel machlokas. Rav Amar Pater Kosavar Bor Birshuso Chayev. This is machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So Rav would hold Bor Birshuso is Chayev, and Shmuel over here, who says Chayev, Kosavar Bor Birshuso Pater. What would be the connection? What would be the connection between this and Bor Birshuso?
And therefore, maybe according to legal standards, you shouldn't be responsible if someone falls into your board.
The question is, if we're going to view it formally, since formally it's yours, so therefore, since formally it belongs to the Mazik, so that let the Nizak beware. The Nizak should watch his animals. Or since we're dealing over here with where he allowed people to walk into his Rishus, even though the boar is in his Rishus, he allowed people to walk around it, so they no longer have to watch their animals, and he's responsible. And then it goes l'shitata, namely that Rav, who said that we go after functionality, will say that Bor Birshuso is chayev, the mazik is chayev, because the behemoth have the right to go there. So if they fall, it's the mazik's fault. And Shmuel, who says that we go after the formality, would hold Bor Birshuso is patur, because it's his bor, let them watch their animals. This is what Tosos says in Tosos, the Rav Savar Bor Birshuso. Right? Tosos follows through with this line of reasoning. Rashi over here is a bit complicated by bringing in all sorts of side issues of knas v'chule. When are we kones? When are we not kones? Is this considered to be a mazik birshus harabim? And therefore, it's like hefker. In other words, that doesn't explain the lema kasavar. In other words, but within Tosfos, the moment that he set up the machlokas of ki plige, it's a question of formal or functional. And according to the Rav, that would be set up by the previous Tosfos of distinguishing between the Chanut and the Petach HaChanut. So we have over here three Tosfos that follow one after another. A, we have a distinction between a formal Rishus HaYachid and a functional Rishus HaYachid. B, we can then distinguish between a formal Rishus HaRabim and a functional Rishus HaRabim. C, we can then say that that would be the issue also by the world of Bor Birshuso. And on that, the Gemara says no. In other words, that Rav will say that Bor Birshuso is shiny because of Svara X, and Shmuel will say because of Svara Y. But it basically would follow through in terms of one logical whole. The whole sugi would be one logical whole. I wanted to ask something.
Absolutely. Point out it resolved me, really bothering me. The Ikad Amri seems like out of place, because in the first version, Rav is the Machmir and Shmuel is the Mekel. In the second version, Rav is the Mekel and Shmuel is the Machmir. It's not usually, we don't find that in Ikad Amri usually. Like, Ikad Amri is a connection between the two sugyas. The second version is like, oh, they have a slightly different, but to flop who's Machmir and who's Mekel, that never happens. But this explains it very well, because it's not really about who's Rav, who's Mekel. It's about Rav prefers function, Shmuel prefers the formality.
Formality, right. So I think that fits in, I think Blianna fits in very, very nicely. Okay, then the Gemara just points out at the end that maybe we have over here a machlokes tanoim, and. Maybe we have over here Machlokes Tanoim. I think where it says no, that the Machlokes Tanoim between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda on one hand and Rav Yossi and Rav Elazar on the other hand has nothing to do with the world of Mechazeret. They could either hold like Rav or like Shmuel. Tosfos points out, not so obvious, but you know, it's but generally. But Hacha Bebir Bistei Acher Kamiflegei, as to what is the drusha? Is it, as we've been assuming for the last two prakim, ubir b'stei acher v'lo b'irshus harabim, or as the havamina of reading the Rambam, ubir b'stei acher v'lo b'irshus hamazik? And the Gemara points out that latter does not require any gzeras hakosav b'irshus hamazik lema parcha b'irshusi my boy, or percha b'irshusi my boy, depending as what is the nizak over here. Is the animal being damaged or is the fruit being eaten? But echshelo, yeah, there's no need for a pasuk. That's a clear svara, as the Rama asks on the Mechaber and the Rambam. Ela the ilfar of Oshia ika benayu. In other words, that clearly we're dealing over here with the world of ubir b'steyacher v'lo b'irshus harabim, and then we have the questions that we've dealt with. In terms of when you have animals in Rishus HaRabim that have things on their backs, that have backpacks, etc., and another animal jumps up to the backpack, do we have over here an issue of Karen? That's what Ilfa is speaking about over here. Do we have an issue of Shem Birshus HaNizak? That's what Rav Oshi is speaking about. Obviously, the other way around. Rav Oshi is speaking about Karen, Kofetzet, and Ilfa is speaking about Shem Birshus HaRabim. Okay. But what I wanted to bring you into the picture was how, you know, the Rav's overview, I think, over here of the sugya. The Seder. We have one more shiur before I go to America. I would like to do, if possible, there's a relatively isolated sugya before we move over into Isha Mishum Chitzav and Isha Mishum Amono, which Baruch Hashem is a very, very rich sugya. We have over here a small sugya of Tchilasu B'Pshia V'Sofo B'Ones that is basically above a Metzia sugya, but it has relevance over here as well. And so, we, you know, it's just Rashi Tosfos, Rashba, Meiri, and Rambam. Okay, I'll give you a page of Maror Mekomos, but it's, you know, it's something I think that you'll be able to prepare for Yom Rishon. And that would get us up to the two dots on Daf Kaf Beis, Amud Aleph up to Kelev Shenatal. And I just wanted to know what you would. I just gave you food for thought last time. What you would like to do for the week that I won't be here. I'm going to Bishir on Wednesday. I'll be flying Tuesday night. So I'm missing Shir on Wednesday, and then again Sunday and Wednesday. I'm coming back on Erev Shabbos. Second week, and then Amir Tzashem, you know, it's, we can re-meet Sunday right after Parsha Zohar, Sunday before Purim. Do you have thoughts of what you wanted to do? Do you want? I basically, I mean, you could just say anything that you want. I had two suggestions. One is that do you want to do a Chazara on the, you know, it's what that which we learned in the second Perek. Three blot, three and a half blot, and then we had another blot on the Ches. in other words, kas to test. In other words, so if about, you know, altogether, the 4 or 5 plot, do you want to do a chazara on that, or do you want to use the time for Yoredeya and Hilchos Shabbos and or Hilchos Purim, etc.? Yes?
So I guess point out something that our first Bechina spanned 23 Shirim, and since then we've done 20 Shirim. So it's a nice, theoretically, nice time to take a Bechina.
That originally I thought that way, you know, it's that we would have a second Bechina this time.
If we didn't have one, that we would just have.
So if not now, then it would be everything at the end. Okay. That would be it. Would be a lot. In other words, I thought of breaking up the year into 3 Bechinas.
I'm in favor of that. Anyone else?
Doing Chazar now, makes sense.
Is there any other Bechinas going on at the same time?
Bechina on Sunday.
Good. This Sunday, right? So then, yeah. Then you're free. Okay.
Any objections? Say aye.
Okay, so would you like the Bechina on the Sunday after Parsha Zohar, or the Wednesday after Parsha? Wednesday is Tainus Esther.
No, say Sunday.
I have no idea what I'll be doing at that point, honestly, because my wife might have
birth already.
That's
amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, people also excuse not taking Bechina, so the way. Okay, such planning. I wasn't even thinking about this 9 months ago. Okay. Just say this. So let's make the Bechina, in other words, since you're only going to be able to begin chazering, well, anyway, in other words, we're going to have Shir on Sunday, so we'll have the Bechina, Emir Hashem. A week from, in other words, 2 weeks from today. Is that comes out 3 weeks from today?
Yeah.
1 week from today, 2 weeks. The Bechina will be 3 weeks from today.
On the Wednesday after.
The Wednesday after, and then after Purim, we'll begin the new material. Okay. Is that okay?
That's good. I'll try my best to be ready.
Let's say there. So 3 weeks from today, we'll have a Bechina that will go from the last Bechina we got up to Daf Zayin.
The first year was Daf Kas Amud Aleph. There's a ton of bottom there.
About B'Shalom or Shalom?
B'Shalom, the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, no?
Yeah.
Am I missing a paper?
B'Shalom,
Mishalom. Oh, no, I just had it in the wrong order. That's why. Never mind.
Okay. And we're starting from Zayin Amud Beis. So Zayin Amud Beis until Tes Amud Beis. That's 2 blot. And then here we have another 4 blot, 5 blot. Okay, wonderful.
I'm gonna do my best to be ready for the